Good morning, Seattle. Good morning, all those places in Denver, Colorado, places I wish I could visit sometime. Good morning to the people of Tokyo, Japan. Good morning to those who live in Germany and France and Turkey and North Africa. Good morning to the people of Tierra del Fuego. Good morning to all those people who live in places near and far. It is March the 5th, 2020. And it's about 9:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in Little Saigon, Seattle, motherfucker. And today is a great day. It's Joseph Stalin's death day, yes indeed. On this day in 1953, Joseph Stalin died. Hallelujah. They called him the boss before there was a boss, right? Yeah, Bruce Springsteen might have called himself the boss, but he wasn't like Joseph Stalin. Nope, not even close. Even if the boss, Bruce Springsteen, killed one or two people in Jersey back during the 70s, during the rock and roll wars, that doesn't really compare to killing millions of Ukrainians, millions of Russians. Did you know the guy was Georgian? Did you know that Joseph Stalin's real name was Djugashvili? Try pronouncing that name while drunk, you fuck. Did you know that Joseph Stalin's chief secret policeman, Beria, did you know he was so afraid of another Joseph Stalin that they had his mother guarded? His mother was in her 80s. Yeah, but she's Georgian, baby. That's right, baby. Georgians, they live a long time, motherfucker. Yes, indeed. On this date, 1953, the good Lord sent Joseph Stalin straight to hell. And thank fucking God. Not soon enough, I'd say. Not soon enough, but that's free will for you. You can make choices in your life. And that's a true story, or at least it's an apocryphal true story, that they guarded Joseph Stalin's mother, even though she was in her late, like, 70s or in her 80s, to make sure she wouldn't have another kid. That's how much they like good old Joe. Now, yeah, they wouldn't tell that to his face. Oh, we're guarding your mother to protect her. No, no, no. They don't want her getting pregnant again. You don't need two Joes. It turns out that Joseph Stalin's a lot like a box of Oreos. You really only need one. You could have had zero. You probably should have had a salad. But instead, you had a little Joe. And it's mostly just an infinite pit of regret having Joe. It's like having a whole box of Oreos. Okay. First topic is not related to Stalin, because Stalin is a jackass. The first topic is related to the fact that I have violated one of my rules, which was never to go onto Twitter again. You all know about what I did going onto Twitter towards the end of last year because I was drunk and bored and depressed. Well, I decided to go on Twitter, but my identity has now coalesced. I have found my identity by watching the TV series Space 1999, or I should say Space: 1999, and I figured out who I am now. Or at least who I need to be now on Twitter for a brief time. You could think of this like an improv thing, or like LARPing. I pretend to be Commander Koenig of the runaway moon and the base, Moon Base Alpha. I am in fact on Twitter, Commander Koenig, and I regret the whole thing. Helena, my girlfriend, is a total bitch. Maya, the alien that can turn into anything, including a gerbil that you could shove up Richard Gere's butthole, she's completely crazy. And I can't stand her eyebrow bullshit. And Tony, I'm getting sick of fucking Tony. Anybody named Tony is gonna be a piece of shit. You just gotta know this up front. They're gonna go crazy. They're gonna start the wrong fights with the wrong aliens. Fucking Tony. And then there's Alan. Whatever happened to Alan? I don't care. He had a gay man's mustache. That's indeed correct. I am on Twitter currently. It may not be permanent, but for right now, I am Commander Koenig. I am Commander of Moonbase Alpha. And let me describe some of the features of that. First things first, life is bleak in space. Whatever else you might say, well, what about Star Wars? What about the people of Alderaan, okay? What about the people of Alderaan? You know, we all talk about the fucking Star Wars and blowing up the fucking Death Star, but as I recall, because that hasn't gone down the memory hole yet, they do blow up Alderaan. They toast Alderaan. Alderaan is totally fucking wiped out by the Death Star. And yet, by the end of the Episode 4, technically the first movie, came out in 1977 and was totally fucked over by its creators in the late 90s with digital bullshit. According to that bullshit, it's all happy-go-lucky, let's get awards at the awards ceremony for the Rebels, but who's thinking about Alderaan? So here's the thing about space that I learned as Commander Koenig, as John Koenig, Commander of Moonbase Alpha, truly the worst job in the universe. It's bleak, and it's endless, and it's pointless, and there's nothing there, and it's just darkness. That's it. It's crap. And what's funny is that it's not that different from life for me in Little Saigon, but I enjoy it here, so maybe it's okay on the moon, too. Another thing, Helena, my woman, she's totally fucking cold to me. She's a cold fish. Yeah, she's kind of an attractive blonde, and she's probably a Hellcat in a sack, and she looks like she's got a nice set of jugs, right? But she's cold to me, Helena. She won't touch me in bed, not unless she's had some cocaine. And it turns out cocaine is hard to get in Little Saigon these days, and also on the moon. And she'll do crystal meth. Then she goes crystal meth moon crazy, and she starts fucking Tony. And that can't turn out good. Listen, I'm Commander of Moonbase Alpha. Helena's my bitch. I'll kill me a Tony. And Maya, she'll turn herself into a tiger. And she'll eat Tony and poop him out. And then she'll have some chocolate ice cream. Life life is bleak and my woman is cold. My woman has crabs, and they're not normal crabs. These are moon crabs. If you get a case of moon crabs, you can't get rid of them for weeks. They're terrible. Moon crabs are difficult to get rid of. Once you get them, you'll have them for weeks. Of course, you know, Dr. Russell, you know, Helena Russell, because she gets around on the moon base, she's had to think about this for a while, so she's got a technique, but it involves a gamma ray laser. And if you fuck that shit up, you're not having kids. But remember my last little podcast about moon base alpha and space? You don't want to have kids in space, so maybe that's a feature, not a bug. Maybe that's a feature and not a bug of moon crabs. Space crabs are terrible. There are only 300 people at Moonbase Alpha, so as Commander Koenig, I get to know them all and all their bullshit. And listen, it's true. You see a little glimpse of the fancy pants people, the razzmatazz. Can you believe the fucking nasty ass bullshit I have to deal with on a daily basis? All these nasty ass people behaving like moon monkeys on the moon. And what? They're bitching and moaning because they're adrift in deep space, moving at hyperspace speeds and bullshit? Fuck you. I'm Commander Koenig. My life is most bleak of all bleakness. I have the greatest bleakness, okay? I don't get to have sexy sex with green women like Kirk, no way. And worst of all of our scripts look to be ripping off, you know, the not-so-great episodes of Kirk. And that's depressing. When you're ripping off not-so-great episodes of Kirk, of Star Trek, you know that you're just fucking scraping the bottom of the existential barrel, and your life is bleak and pointless, and there's just nowhere to go but down. There'll be no season 3. No, not for you, Moonbase Alpha. There's no season 3 for you. No. 300 people on Moonbase Alpha. It's like a small town, but a small town that you can't escape from. And I know you're going to say, well, Dan, there are lots of people that live in small towns and they're happy. Well, firstly, I'm not Dan right now. I'm Commander John Koenig of the fucking Moonbase Alpha. A, so fuck you. And B, listen, I wanted to sell condos in Miami. I didn't want to be Commander of Moonbase Alpha and all this stupid bullshit. What a fucking letdown. Basically, the moon is a big nuclear dump. How depressing. How depressing. So yeah, I don't know. And here's the worst part about being commander of the moon, is that there's just no logic to it at all, really. Like, for example, one of our adventures, we decide to go to a dangerous fucking planet to collect titanium. Titanium, okay? Titanium. There are, according to some scientists, millions, billions, a gazillion tons of this shit on the moon. We could find it. We could mine it. But no. They have to go down to a fucking nasty-ass planet to get a few fucking pounds of fucking titanium. What kind of bullshit is that? Total bullshit. And this is where they come across Maya. So not only is there a weak plot, but they have a weak plot to get a weak fucking person onto Moonbase Alpha. We only have so much food, you fuck. I don't want to share my food. Okay, she's a shapeshifter. She can change. I know she can with that spooky eye technique. I don't need more spooky eye technique, okay? I got Tony. Thank you. And I don't need more bullshit from women on Moonbase Alpha. It's totally a bullshit place. The women are total bitches all the time. All they do is lay around in a solarium and then bitch about how they don't get what they need from their man. Fuck, I'm tired of Moonbase Alpha, you fucks. I'm tired of it. Yeah, fucking Maya. Maya the shapeshifter. What kind of bullshit is that? But finally, as commander of fucking Moonbase Alpha, I have this terrible problem, and it makes no, it makes zero fucking sense. I mean, I ignore the fact that there was so much nuclear waste stored on the moon that when the explosion hit, it blew the moon away from Earth. Okay, let's ignore that one for a second, because that's going to be pretty catastrophic. Methinks that no matter what happens, the Earth's going to have some hard times at that point. But let's just ignore that fucking reality. Apparently, based upon the number of episodes and the number of aliens they met, the moon is moving at, like, the speed of light, or faster. Like, they, in fact, in season two, they talk about space warps because they don't really have a way of explaining it. But what I don't understand is this, and it's really fucked up. How the fuck does the moon ever slow down enough so that they could either A, interact with other planets, or B, have aliens stop by for a cup of coffee? That shit makes no sense. And because I'm Commander Koenig, I have to deal with that existentially pointless bullshit every fucking day. Oh, the magical moon that goes faster than the speed of light just stopped again. Oh, let me guess. Asshole solar system? Asshole planet where they're gonna fuck with us or something? And maybe, if we're lucky, only one person dies? We get to stop at planet bullshit? Oh, great. Planet bullshit again. Great. Fuck. So it sucks being Commander Koenig, but as far as Twitter characters go, I'm going to have fun with this one. I don't know how long Commander Koenig or Moonbase Alpha will exist. Given my previous history with Twitter, likelihood is it won't exist much longer because either Twitter's going to ban me or I'll do something crazy and I'll ban myself as a result. I've done that before. I've posted nasty pictures on Donald Trump's timeline. I've done that. It could happen again. I'm a strange guy. Next topic, a plague update. I'll give you an update on the plague. Let me tell you about my current state. Currently, I would say I have a mild case of a cold. However, I read a scary article today that made it sound like it can start out like that. The fucking, the Fledermaus, the COVID, the Wu flu, whatever you want to call it, the virus. That the virus can start out like it's just an ordinary cold, and then all of a sudden it turns on you. It turns on you like a fucking great white shark and bites right into you. I don't know. The article read like something really scary that would have been written by somebody in a sci-fi story. So I just don't know what to think, folks. I really don't. So far, there's still construction going on here in Seattle. So far, it looks like people are waking up and going to work. But you never know. Maybe it'll all shut down here in a couple days. But let me tell you about my first general rules of chaos. Is there still food at the grocery store? Well, guess what? Things are probably okay. Are your lights still on? You know, does the electricity work? then things are probably still okay. If the stuff that you expect to work is still working, then that's about all I can say. I don't know about the fucking pandemic. I don't know about the FEMA camps. I remember fucking 8 years ago, Alex Jones was getting people all amped up about FEMA camps and how they have these FEMA camps and how they have all of these fucking coffins and how everyone's going to get killed. And I just don't know what to do with that, folks. I don't know. If you want to ask me, do I feel like I'm sick right now? A little, but I don't feel like I'm mortally sick. And I can't imagine shutting down human civilization over how I feel at the moment. On the other hand, I could get desperately sick within a couple days. And then, from the future, call bullshit on myself and say, Dan, you were sick. You just didn't know it yet. I don't know what to expect from any of this. Right now, I think that it's worth thinking about who benefits in a way. And let's talk about that. So, number one, this fucking woo-flu bullshit virus, it totally helps the banking system. It provides cover for the banks. Whatever happens next, whatever crazy shit happens next, all of the banks on planet Earth can go to their central banks and say, look, 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 you're going to have to cut rates, go negative, whatever, print lots of money, do what you got to do. Modern monetary theory, MMT, neo-Keynesian, listen to Paul Krugman. Paul Krugman says, you know, go get that brick and break a window. Give the guy that makes glass a job. Paul Krugman says, get that Molotov cocktail handy. Set that tire store on fire. The guy that raises horses needs a job. So, firstly, I would say the banks benefit because all their bullshit, as of right now, can be swept under the coronavirus 2019 and no one's going to ask questions and no one's going to say boo. Oh, and they're too big to fail. So guess what? The banks get something out of this. I'd also add this. I think the healthcare system gets something out of this. I don't think people understand how lopsided, from a financial perspective, the American healthcare system is. But it is broke as fuck, and it would, in my opinion, be classified as a bubble if people had any common sense. But people don't have any common sense. What I will tell you is this is a giant fucking gimme to pharmaceutical companies and healthcare companies. This is also stimulus, and the government loves stimulus. It loves to fucking create stimulus programs. Holy shit, every president loves to say, look at my stimulus. Look at what I did. I built 7 roads, okay? I built that dam. Look at what I did with all that money. Fucking midnight basketball. The virus means more police state bullshit. That's what it means, more police state crap. I think we gotta be honest about that. The virus also means more cameras, more ID cards, less freedom. There are a lot of people who hate freedom and make money off the police state, so this is good for them. It probably means more globalism, okay? Because they're going to say, oh, look, if we only had a global community, we could have identified the virus and we could have taken care of it. Yeah. We know your argument. It means more globalism, okay? The globalists would love this thing if they did it. I think Hillary Clinton loves this because I think this is a way she could, you know, get into the presidency. As fucked up as it sounds, this is how she gets elected. If you take a look at what's been going on, fucking Warren getting out of the race and all the fucking other shit going on, looks like it's going to be, what, Biden or Bernie versus Trump? That's funny. I think the Chinese government would support this. You know, the Chinese government, like all governments, is looking for a way to maintain control. And there's no better way than a fucking virus. There's no better way. You can do all kinds of Nazi bullshit. And people say, well, they had to do it. They had to do it. You know, even Chris Martinson, who I really like. I like this guy. But even in his fucking videos, he talks about how, yes, they're getting brutal, but look at what's happening and they got to do. Well, yeah, they're getting brutal. What if the virus is mainly an excuse for brutality? What if the virus is the Tiananmen Square? Okay, I'm not saying it is, but what if it is? I can say the Chinese government maintains stability because of this. Now, some could say, well, they could lose control. It really depends now, doesn't it? It depends. It depends on whether this thing stops in a couple weeks or whether it gets worse. Because truly, I have no idea. Okay? There are people who would say, there are too many people on planet Earth, you know, and we gotta get rid of some, right? I don't believe that, but people who do. There are unfunded liabilities involving pension funds, Social Security, you name it, that can never be paid, won't be paid, can't be paid, there is no money to pay. Well, a magical coronavirus that magically kills people who represent that group of people, that unfunded group, that's an interesting fucking virus to many governments, not just ours. One of the questions every one of us should ask is, does anybody benefit from this fucking situation? Because you could say, well, no one does, but I don't think that's actually true. I think it's just like 9/11 or any fucking war. There are institutions that will benefit. There are organizations that will get something out of this, including, you know, my favorite as a generic descriptor, government. I really don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I have been thinking about this off and on for the last few weeks. Is this thing as bad as it seems? Because it's being amped up. Even the fucking government incompetence is inadvertently spinning a tale of woe, a tale of catastrophe. I know, I've seen pictures of people in China falling over sick. But I also know that I could stage something like that, and I'm not fucking Scorsese. Or Scorsese. You know, I'm not Scorsese. I'm not Kubrick. I could stage a person falling over sick, especially in something that's kind of low pixelated at an angle, at a distance. I could do that. So I don't know what is real and what's not real. I remember all the fucking beheadings. You remember ISIS in 2014 and all those fucking videos of people having their heads cut off? I truly don't know if one person had their head cut off. I don't know. I know that the cinematography was okay, but beyond that, I can't say. What I can say is that there are multiple institutions that would get something out of a little bit of a pandemic, a manageable, tiny little pandemic. I think there are many institutions. And I'll even add another reason. Like, assume that what some people have said about global dimming is true, and global dimming is something we should be concerned about. Well, what if they need to run a test? Okay, what if you need to run a test? The test is the following. What would happen if 20 to 30% of the world economy just shut off? Well, guess what? Kind of just happened. Take a look at the air quality over China. Wow, what a difference a day makes, right? Well, if global dimming is a concern, this would be a great fucking test. And if global dimming is a real concern in terms of positive feedbacks, then we should see a rapid increase in Earth's temperature by about a degree, according to what I've read, 1 degree Celsius worldwide within a matter of weeks. So I don't know. I could see lots of reasons for doing this. Now, of course, someone could say, Dan, you're a conspiracy theorist. It was a fucking, you know, bat soup or fucking monkey pasta at the fucking Wuhan market. Don't eat there. Well, I wouldn't have eaten there to begin with, which is funny. I think my ex-wife would have. I wouldn't have. I kind of have a general common sense notion of what will probably kill me. And even if it technically won't, it's on a list of things I will eat if I have to. Like if my sister has a French bulldog. Okay? This is a filthy, disgusting creature, the French bulldog. It's so disgusting. It eats its own vomit. It eats its own poop. Then it vomits its poop and then it eats it again. That's a French bulldog. Now, if I was hungry enough, would I eat little beans, the French bulldog? Of course I would. You hear me, beans, if you're listening? I'd have you for lunch. I'd have you for dinner. That's right, beans. I'd have you for dinner. I'd have you for lunch. I'd have you for dinner if I could, little beans. This could be the wrong person eating the wrong French bulldog. This could be the result of a fucking series of mistakes. It could be some dude working at that BSL-4 laboratory in Wuhan. It could be Dean Kuntz has precognition. So when he wrote his fucking book, you know, decades ago about the Wuhan 400, well, that's just random shit and ignore it. All those things could be true. What I know is certainty is this is precisely the kind of government, this is precisely the kind of shit, excuse me, precisely the kinds of shit that government would do. This is a good example, you know, blowing up the main battleship in the harbor in Havana so you can have a little war against Spain. This is the kind of shit the government would do. Absolutely. Do I think the government would do this? 100%. Do I think our government would work with the Chinese government and work with some banks to do it at the same time? Hells yeah. Hells yeah. And I would even go a step further. It works to Trump's benefit because once it all gets cured magically, it's like I said about the GTO. You know, they can only go 100, but you can squeeze the fuel line. Think about the fuel line. They've been squeezing it now, haven't they? So imagine what happens when they let go of that fuel line. And they add the stimulus. And they do all their other crazy nutty shit. Holy fuck, the crack-up boom bonanza before everything explodes might be realized. There might be one last binge. There could be, you never know. Maybe that's what they're looking for. One last binge. Have you been around addicts? Have you been around people who have to have that next hit? They will do all kinds of crazy shit to do it. They'll drill holes in their heads to do it. So yes, do I think the government would do something crazy like this to get that one last hit? Oh, fuck yeah, I know they would. And when it involves stealing money from people, I know there are lots of organizations that would join in. But does that mean it's all constructed? I don't know. Sorry, I don't have a more definitive answer. I think depending upon what happens to my own health in the next 30 days, I will have a more definitive answer, I think. I think if I get really, really sick, then, yeah, I still think it's a bioweapon, but it's a real bioweapon. And if this ends up being a know-nothing cold or whatever, no big deal, I still won't know. If this is a bioweapon, this thing could be doing damage to people that won't show up for months. We just don't know. We don't know yet. I don't have the equipment to analyze the RNA in this motherfucker. So far, it looks like a nasty motherfucker. So far, it looks like you're not really over it until you're over it, and even then you're not really over it. That sounds fucking bad. That sounds monkey herpes bad. That sounds like getting monkey herpes. I don't want to get that. Fuck. Anyways, next topic. So I was thinking about building a poor man's bunker. Like, if I had to live in my apartment, how could I do it? And in reality, there's a limit, so I don't think I could really. But let's say you live someplace where you have water and you have at least some available solar energy or wind energy. Well, I was thinking, what if you had a continuous still? And what I mean by a continuous still is a still, essentially an electrolysis still for separating hydrogen and oxygen. Because you can do something with both of those things. You can save the hydrogen as fuel, but you could take the oxygen and you could use that to increase the oxygen inside of a tent. So let's say you took that, you know, freaking sheeting material you can find at Home Depot and you line the inside of your house. Not the outside, that would be crazy, but you line the inside. And then you had a continuous still running all the time, producing extra oxygen. I mean, I think you'd still have to run a CO2 scrubber, but in theory, if you could produce enough oxygen, you could keep a slight overpressure as long as your envelope is mostly sealed. You don't want it perfectly sealed, but as long as it's mostly sealed. Anyways, I was thinking about that. I don't know why. Truly, I don't know why. It was a crazy thing to think about. But when you're Commander Koenig of the Moonbase Alpha, you have to think about things like, how would you build a decent enough bunker system in your home to deal with germs and chemical warfare and radiation? Overpressure is not a bad way, because the great thing about overpressure is it's based on the opposite. You don't really want to have a perfect seal. You just want to have enough pressure being generated from the inside that you're constantly pushing things out. So, in fact, I'm not even sure you would need a CO2 scrubber with overpressure. I think you just need continuous clean air that is going to give you pressure that is going to force the air that's basically greater than atmospheric, basically greater than the pressure that's pressing on it, or the atmospheric pressure pressing on it. I think that would be doable. I don't know. But I don't have any of the things I would need, so it's irrelevant. Last topic is a feel-good story that was sent to me by a listener, because I feel like I'm not feeling great right now, so I'm not going to do a long one today, but this is the last topic for today's podcast in the plague year, blah, blah, blah. This is an article coming from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. That's right, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Fuck, are they putting up a paywall? If they are, I'm not going to do anything with this. Yep, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And the headline reads, from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Can-Can Room Owner Wants Webcam Business in Former Strip Club. This is our feel-good story for today, and I gotta say, I'm gonna read that headline again if that's okay with you. Can-Can Room Owner Wants Webcam Business in Former Strip Club. Let's read on, right? And this is written by Eli Siegel, and this was published March 3rd at around noon, Las Vegas time. And I read on. The owner of the shuttered Can-Can Room wants to open a webcam business in the former Las Vegas strip club. But even if he lands county approval, his landlord says the Can-Can Room's lease would not allow for that kind of operation. He should have said something pithier, like the Can-Can can't. Though I think that might get you shot in Vegas. Can-Can can't. Sam Aldebog, whose decades-old strip joint saw its business license revoked last year, said, has filed plans to rent out private studios for live streaming in the former club at 3155 Sammy Davis Jr. Drive, just west of the strip, behind the under-construction resorts World Las Vegas. Great. That's great. The under-construction resorts World Las Vegas. Great. He also wants a studio centered around a stage that would let aspiring, and I quote, aspiring and professional exotic dancers, that sounds nice, create dance videos for personal or commercial use, according to county records. Seems like he just wants to promote young people. The business would span about 4,200 square feet inside and feature a dance platform area and 7 private studios for champagne dancing. County documents say. It would not be open to the public. I wonder why. Clark County commissioners are scheduled to consider the proposal Wednesday on appeal, following a denial early last month by Nancy Amundson, director of county's comprehensive planning department. She sounds like a horrible person. The new business plan comes after the Can-Can Room's new landlord, the Siegel Group, sued Aldabaugh last year, claiming he ran an illegal brothel there and refused to vacate the property. Aldabaugh's legal team has said in court papers the landlord made a slew of horrendous allegations without evidence and sought to unjustly terminate his lease, fuckers. Aldabaugh, whose name also has been spelled as Aldabaugh, and Aldabaugh did not respond to requests for comment Monday. Fuck, he just wants to be left alone. Michael Crandall, senior vice president at the Siegel Group, said county approval for the proposed new business would be irrelevant. Under Aldabaugh's lease, he said, only a strip club can operate in the Gan-Gan room space. And I quote, it 100% does not allow for this, Crandall said. Well, good. I'm glad that's 100%. At least you took math. Siegel Group founder Steve Siegel, whose other holdings include Siegel Suites chain of low-priced apartments, acquired the 62,000 square foot commercial building that housed the Can-Can room and other tenants last May. He sounds like a slumlord. After the purchase, he spoke with Review Journal about his vision for turning the complex into a hub for eateries and how he told the escort services there operate on a month-to-month leases and upstairs offices that they had to move out. Fuck, you dick. His firm sued Aldabaugh through the property holdings company September 5th, alleging he ran an illegal business there in violation of state law and his lease. The lawsuit alleged, among other things, that dancers were required to engage in sex acts with Aldabaugh and customers. Fuck. That he employed a madam who collected money from patrons for sex acts. Shit. And that the club had VIP rooms with beds where workers performed sex acts in exchange for compensation. I bet I saw that movie on Pornhub. I know I did. I know I saw that movie on Pornhub. A judge later agreed to strike those allegations from the complaint, but his ruling did not prevent the Siegel Group from presenting evidence at trial of those claims. The case remains open. The Can-Can Room's business license was revoked September 25th. Aldabaugh, and purportedly 2019, right? Aldabaugh appealed the decision seeking judicial review that also remains open. Yep, this was penned by Eli Siegel at the Las Vegas Review Journal. How do you feel about the Can-Can Room? Anyways, if you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, and you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, your makeshift bunker made out of an oxygen still and some Home Depot plastic, if you've taken care of your animals, your cats, your dogs, the people you love, including your wife and your children, if you've done all the things you need to do and you still have money left over and you enjoy this podcast, you can donate. There are links to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. There are also links to Venmo and PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage. Could I use the money? Fuck, man, it's the plague year. I can use as much money as you can give me, you fuck. I'll use the money for food and water and shelter first. But then I will use it for beer. I'm simply being honest. People. That's all. Just being honest. And for this Thursday, the day that Joseph Stalin died in 1953, thank you, Jesus, for taking that motherfucker out. None too soon, but never too late, right? For this Thursday, around 10 a.m., for all you motherfuckers out there trying to hold on to your dignity in this wilderness of bullshit, remember, I'm the one trapped on a wandering moon headed towards nowhere, baby. I'm the one trapped on the wandering moon that was blown out of Earth's orbit because you guys want to put all your fucking nuclear waste there, you fucks. I'm stuck with a cold-hearted bitch. But she has sex with every other man but me. I'm stuck watching over 300 people who act like dicks. And then, when we meet aliens, they act no better, just like other kinds of dicks. Deep space is bleak and pointless and useless. It is a nothingness world. Have a great Thursday.